Pacifico, Bill Perry.
From the beautiful shores of the El Pacifico, indeed, here. And if you were watching us on Phil TV and HD, you would see behind me the beautiful surf of the El Pacifico. And, of course, we do video cast Phil TV in HD each and every broadcast night, every live show that we're on the air. It starts around roughly 9:15 Pacific, 12:15 Eastern time, Eastern Daylight Time. And we roll throughout our pre-show all the way on through the radio show. And it's kind of just another way of enjoying the show. Get a backstage pass, and you also have access to the archives that we have, thousands of hours, over 10 years' worth of archives, as well as extra goodies like video casts and animated projects and television projects and TV interviews and all kinds of squirrely stuff there at philhendryshow.com. Also our news feed, also our comment section, which is open only to our BSPs. And we also have asked our backstage pass people to put together a best of Ted Bell download. And that will be made available shortly, before the end of the month. And it'll be available in our shop, the best of Ted Bell, Ted's of Beverly Hills, and his great moments on our show, as selected by our BSPs. All right, so it's all a good thing. Robert Leonard and Bud Dickman with me here on the show, here in our News and Information Hour. And this is generally where we go through whatever news we might have missed. I'm not really I'm a consumer of the news, but not a fan of the news. It depends, you know. It depends.
Well, what's it depend on?
Depends on what kind of news it is. You know, if you guys are giving me more stuff about Romney and Obama and the Republicans and the Democrats, then I just as soon blow my brains out of my head, okay? I had a very interesting conversation today with a dear friend of mine who is a longtime radio veteran. And, you know, we were talking about the business. And I said, well, you know, there's two areas now in radio. There is music and there's spoken word. We don't even call it talk radio anymore, folks. It's called spoken word. I don't know why they call it spoken word, because really it's basically talk radio. But there's also podcasts, and there's a lot of different things. And I was kind of talking with her about what she can get involved in. It's a very entrepreneurial environment where you can do podcasts, you can do an online show, you can do an over-the-air show, you can, you know. And I was talking about talk radio per se, and I said, you know, there's more to it than just talking about Romney and Obama. And I said, as soon as the stranglehold that the political talkers have had on talk radio, as soon as that is broken, then we're going to actually hear radio again. But right now, it's, you know, what it's all been given over to is political talk and conservative talk and some liberal talk. And you just seriously, you know, I would rather kill myself than do that kind of radio. I don't know what people think about what I do, and I don't care. You know, what I do is what I do. But I would blow my brains out of my skull if I had to do that garbage at all. So I said to her, my friend, I said, you might as well kill yourself now, because she didn't like it either.
Did you really?
No, I'm kidding. Maybe she'll come to work for us. Who knows? North Carolina zoo elephant may get contact lenses. Are you kidding me?
No, dude, you're reading stars. Pretty interesting.
Pretty interesting? Where are my glasses? Speaking of contact lenses, where are my glasses? Officials at the North Carolina Zoo in Asheboro and the North Carolina State University College of Veterinary Medicine are considering giving an elephant at the zoo contact lenses after he had a second cataract surgery in 6 months earlier in June and bowled an under 100 game. Anyway, the 38-year-old African elephant by the name of Caesar weighs 12,000 pounds and has been at the zoo since 1978.
Well, how much do you think the contact lens weighs?
What?
How much you think the contact lens weighs?
Well, you get over to the microphone, will you, Robert?
Yeah, you're yelling everything. I said, how much do you think the contact lens? A contact lens weighs.
The contact lens would weigh? I don't know. How much does a human contact lens weigh?
Probably about a half an ounce.
Okay, so a human being weighs, let's say, average man, 200 pounds. A half an ounce. So what's 12,000 pounds times a half an ounce, and that's what it is?
That's like what, a one-ton contact lens?
No, I don't think it's a one-ton contact lens. You guys are asking me the stupid question. I don't know.
Probably about like a 500-pound contact lens.
A 500-pound contact lens. There's not a chance. Not even an elephant, as big as he is going to put a 500-pound contact lens in his eyeball. Anyway, now officials are considering whether contact lenses would help Cesar's vision even more. Zookeepers say Cesar has become lethargic because he couldn't see well, and officials are worried that they might have to euthanize him. Isn't that too bad? You got an animal in an unnatural setting, a zoo. That's right. It's time for Phil Talks About Zoos. You have an African bull elephant that should be in the wild, should have been in the wild. I don't know where this animal was born. He's been at the zoo since 1978, which basically means, no, he wasn't born at the zoo, because they would have said he was. They've beaten this thing into submission. It's now a nice, docile animal, and he's lethargic because he can't see well, and they might have to euthanize him. Well, isn't that a fantastic thing? So the human beings pick this animal out of the wild. The thing goes blind. Well, now it's time to put him down because he can't see and he's lethargic. And I guess he's not entertaining and, making it happen for the people to come and look at him. I can't stand zoos, man. They all ought to be shut down. All of them.
Thought you said he wasn't no animal rights person.
I'm not into animal rights the way PETA is, okay? I'm not about, oh, my God, they're more important than humans, all right? I'm not into that. I don't know and I don't want to know. And I do want to know, but I don't make it a public thing, okay? I'm not talking about the chicken at Colonel Sanders. I ain't talking about none of that stuff. It's probably bad. I don't know, But my whole public thing is this. Zoos, man. Zoos suck.
What about that one guy, Jack, the zoo guy?
Jack the zoo guy? Who's that?
You know that guy on the Columbus Zoo?
Jack Hanna? Is that his name?
Yeah.
What about him?
But he seemed like he cared about animals.
He says, no, he doesn't care about animals. No, I don't believe Jack Hanna cares about animals at all. I think he probably thinks he does. Right after that lion or a tiger? After that tiger attacked that guy in San Francisco, he's all, this is very rare, and I really don't want zoos to take. He was all, protecting the image of zoos. What do I give a damn? What do you mean protecting the image of zoos? Zoos are safe, and this was really very rare. What are you talking about, man? You want to make sure that these zoos keep going, huh? Why? What's the big thing with zoos?
Well, they teach kids.
Oh, they don't teach kids a thing. Teach kids nothing. You want to teach a kid about an animal? I got a great... Here's a newsflash for you. Give him a book. He can read about the animal. And then someday you can cart his ass down to Africa. He can look at that animal. Or he can cart his own ass down there. Or maybe, just maybe, there's a setting where these creatures can be left alone and they're not the object of the scrutiny of a pack of moron humans. Maybe there's something like that. I don't know. I've never heard of it.
But they had Lion Country Safari.
That was a big freaking disaster, man, that Lion Country Safari. And that what the hell was the one up here, man, up in Thousand Oaks?
Jungle Land.
Years ago, folks, when I was a kid here in California, in the L.A. area, there's a suburb in the northwestern environs of Los Angeles called Thousand Oaks. It's a number of miles outside of L.A., but it's one of those outer ring suburbs. In any event, it's a very nice city, and it's a continually voted as one of the safest and one of the nicest in America and this and that, and that's great. But they had a thing called Jungle Land. I don't know where the hell it was.
It was out there, near all those oak trees and stuff.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's a whole lot of area beyond Thousand Oaks. There's a lot of very beautiful areas with lots of oak trees. There's no homes. It's unsettled and it's rather untouched. There's, mountains and rocks and stuff. So I think they had a jungle land somewhere in this area. And sure enough, a freaking lion got loose, man.
What a dude.
It just got loose, man. It was one of these animals that lived in jungle land, and the damn thing got loose. It got into the neighborhoods. It was walking down the street, And
did it eat nobody?
I don't know, man. I got to look the story up. I don't know if it attacked anybody. I don't think it ended well for the lion. I mean, how could it, But I just think that every time we take a creature, and there's no reason to have an animal in captivity if there's only one reason. That's for the amusement of dumbass humans. That's it.
But I think you're being cruel about calling them dumbass.
No, I'm not being cruel. No, I am not. Human beings need to get with it, man. Am I Mr. Animal Rights? Am I running around here saying animal rights this, animal rights that? I believe in drilling offshore, man. I've always said so. But the one thing I will not abide are these zoos and this garbage, this SeaWorld. You know, you want to get a laugh? I'll tell you right now. You want to see somebody get really uncomfortable? Go down to the Aquarium of the Pacific, which I think is a phenomenal place. Now, that place I support. And they have a marine mammal rescue there. They've got sharks there. They take care. This is a place where they rehabilitate animals, and they do it in a setting where, you know, they train the animals. They give them exercise. They don't do a show. But humans can go and watch as they exercise the animals, as they feed the animals, and as they rehabilitate them. This is not a show. This is not some freaking, a ball going off the nose of a sea lion. It's these animals are being rehabilitated. Anyway, make a long story short, talk to one of those people down there. These are really good people. The kids that volunteer, they say kids. These are all people with their degrees in, oceanography and marine biology. And some of them have multiple degrees, and they're volunteering or they're interning for the summer working with these animals. Talk to them about SeaWorld. You want to see an uncomfortable silence. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I don't mean to talk out of school. What do you think of SeaWorld? Oh, yeah. Tell me, go ahead. Well, you know, I like it. You know, the whale, the thing, yeah. You can't have any appreciation or love for any of those animals and say anything good about SeaWorld. And I'm going to say it again. You can't have any love or appreciation for those beautiful creatures, those whales, and say anything good about SeaWorld, okay? You want me to say it again? I can say it as many times as I want. I'm going on the record here, you know.
Well, I mean, being kind of rude about it.
What do you mean I'm being rude about it? I want to be very clear in case there's any doubt. This is not often that I do this. When have you heard me go and rip? But I'm telling you, I wouldn't go to SeaWorld, man, any more than I would want to go and see how Auschwitz was run with real people, okay?
Oh, come on, man. You can't say that.
I'm telling you, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. And to have those animals, those whales, jumping through the hoops and doing all that stuff, yeah, that's right. That's what whales do in the wild, man. They sit in a tank and bob up and down for about 10 hours a day. And then they go out and they play with a human and a ball, and then they go back and bob up and down in a tank. You can keep it, man. I'm sorry. All right. So much for the elephant getting a cataract or contact or glasses. You know what? I would endorse zoos if they would put a giant pair of glasses on this elephant. That I'd like to see. All right. Of course, I'm joking, but sort of. We'll be right back here at the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. More news in our News and Information Hour, including obesity putting pressure on the Earth's resources. That's right. If you're fat, you are a danger to the world's food supply. I'm dead serious. That's what they say here. And we'll talk about it when we come back. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth God. Is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Are you kidding me, man?
No, I'm not kidding you.
Yeah, that means Robert's a danger.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
You don't have time, man.
I am tired. Welcome back, world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Get a backstage pass at philhendryshow.com and watch our live streaming video of our show right now on Phil TV and HD. I am tired because I got up this morning and I went to the doctors, had to do a couple of tests, nothing serious, nothing bad. It was all very normal and very routine. And I'm very happy to report when the doc saw me, he said, "Geez, Hendry, you are definitely born again hard."
What does that mean?
Don't worry about it. It's a military term. He said, "Look, I've lost all that weight," because he hadn't seen me.
Oh, yeah, I've seen you since you were like 300 pounds.
He hadn't seen me since I was 291. That's the last time they weighed me. I was 291, and I'm down to 245 now, and it blew him away, man. He was like, "Man, you know what? Where'd half of you go, dude?" So that was kind of cool because he said to me, "I didn't think you were going to be able to do it." I said, "What do you mean?" He says, "I just didn't think you were going to do it." You know, I mean, because I've been going to this guy for years, and my weight just ballooned up when I quit smoking. And it was bad. I mean, it was really bad. I was just too heavy. And anyway, long story short, dropped the weight, went down to the doc today, and he was happy to see that. So and now I'm on a, he gave me something for sleep. okay?
Yeah, that you need to have that.
Right. This is a sleep thing, and I can't remember the name of it, but there is also a I guess an organic or an herbal, I should say, an herb version of it too. Because my sleep is all jacked up, man. I work until 1, but that means I don't get to bed till 4 or 5, you know, Pacific time, sometimes later, and, you know, forget it. All right, let's move past my problems and my achievements and my, you know, my ascending the heights and my victories and my defeats and me. Well, in fact, let's keep talking about me.
No.
All right. Actually, here's one. Obesity, well, we were just talking about the obese Phil. Obesity puts pressure on Earth's resources, so says a study. Yeah, uh-huh. Here is one more reason why obesity and overweight need to be tackled on a war footing. Obesity and overweight. This is in some magazine or newspaper where they don't know how to talk good. Here is one more reason why obesity and overweight need to be tackled on a war footing. Oh, okay. They put undue pressure on Earth's dwindling resources, say researchers from the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine. Whatever.
What's that?
Who knows? Earth's dwindling resources. When did we decide that, by the way, maybe we're running out of oil, I don't know, but when did we decide that Earth's resources are dwindling? Maybe oil is dwindling. You know, what other resources are dwindling?
Swimming pools.
Yeah, we don't have enough swimming pools. Anyway, this is because people's weight, and not just the population size, determines the energy requirements of the human race. Using data from the United Nations and World Health Organization, the researchers decided to spin it and twist it in their favor, and they came up... No, I'm kidding. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say that, bud. Don't. The researchers, led by Professor Ian Roberts, computed a table of the heaviest and lightest nations on Earth. And because an advertisement pop-up was right in the middle of the screen when I printed this off, I can't see all of the rationale that they used or the methodology that they used in computing this. However, I'm sure it's really solid. Here are the 10 heaviest nations on Earth. In other words, the countries that contain per capita more fat asses than the world has ever known. Who do you think the number one country is?
Canada.
Really? A little bit south.
Mexico.
A little bit north.
Canada.
Yeah, well, you come on, man. The United States.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh. We got more tubs of guts in this country than we know what to do with. Kuwait is second.
What?
Yeah, Kuwait. That's, again, per capita. And Kuwait's a very wealthy country. Now, here's one that kind of blows me away. Croatia. Now, that's not what I would call a wealthy country. I mean, I don't know much about Croatia, to be honest with you, except that they used to be Nazis. I'm kidding. Croatia is the third fattest country.
Maybe it's the pastries.
What? What do you mean pastries?
Don't they eat a lot of them there?
Well, they may like pastries in Croatia. I just didn't think that it doesn't come to mind as a country that is has enough of anything to have fat people. And I could be wrong. So Croatia. Croatia leapt ahead of, because all the other countries, well, the first six, five of the top six, four of the top six, are Middle Eastern countries. Okay? Now, this may educate us a little bit. What does it mean to have a country of fat people? Does it necessarily mean that you are a prosperous nation? Does it mean instead that you've got a lot of nervous eaters? You know, I mean... do you think Croatia is one of the top producing countries in the world in terms of GDP? I don't know.
What's GDP?
Gross domestic product, okay? Just don't ask me any questions, bud. The United States, number one. Kuwait, number two. Croatia, number three. Qatar, or gutter, number four.
Gutter?
Q-A-T-A-R. You know, one of these days you guys are going to get educated on what's going on in the world, and I want to have to explain every little thing.
I didn't ask. I knew about it.
You did.
No, you didn't know, man. You didn't ask.
All right. Well, it's called Qatar or gutter. Number five, Egypt. Number six, United Arab Emirates. So there you have, of the top six, four, Middle Eastern. And Egypt is not what I would call a prosperous country. So maybe it's just people turn to food when they're in stress or in stressful situations. And
yeah, well, America is rich.
America has both. We've got prosperity and lots of nervous eaters. We got to take a break. All right, we'll be right back. Number 7 is Trinidad and Tobago. Number 8 is Argentina. Number 9, Greece. And number 10, Bahrain. I'll come back with the lightest 10 nations, the skinniest people. And I'm sure these are countries with physically fit people. They do a lot of chin-ups. They do a lot of working out. Or maybe they're just all starving to death.
Maybe it's a combination.
Exactly. Like the opposite of America. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here on the world famous Phil Hendry Show. Our number is 877-876-PHIL and online at philhendryshow.com. Download the free Phil Hendry podcast if you haven't already. We do 2 a week, and go to the homepage, philhendryshow.com, and you'll see the banner that says Phil Hendry Radio and the new podcast. Just click on that, and it'll take you to the appropriate link to download our podcast, the free Phil Hendry podcast. It's some cool stuff from our archives, and it's very popular stuff. People are digging it. People are loving it, and it's free. If you don't want to get a BSP right away. But I would suggest you get the BSP right away. That means you have access to all of that cool stuff. All right. Now, where we left off, where were we, bud?
Yeah, you had the 10 countries that are the fattest, not as the skinniest.
Yeah, we had the fattest 10. This is all as a result, folks, of a survey or some research done by a group of people at the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine. You might as well tell me that it's the London School of Hairdressing. You know,
why do you say that?
I never heard it. What do you mean, the London School of Tropical Medicine? In any event, I'm not saying they're full of crap, but... So the 10 heaviest countries, the United States, Kuwait, and the reason why we were marveling over the 10 heaviest countries is it was a mix of countries that you would think of as wealthy and therefore, you know, plentiful in terms of food. And also countries that you would think of as poorer, and therefore maybe the caloric intake is high because they just, when you oftentimes find poor countries, the people just are into putting a lot of calories into their system. They just want to make sure that they've got lots and lots of calories, and it's not the healthiest. We've got Croatia. We've got Egypt. We have Trinidad and Tobago. And then countries that sort of fall in the mid-range in terms of what I would call, you know, economically prosperous countries. I mean, Greece is going through their problems right now. Argentina, the United States, Kuwait, Qatar, United Arab Emirates. I would say those are countries that one would imagine are economically at, you know, on good days, very, very sound. And the living standard of their people relatively stable. And so, obviously, you have that mix of wealth and wealthy nation and poor nation, and it's high in calories, what the people eat. Now you go to the lightest 10 countries, and you see kind of the same thing. Although I'm hard-pressed to find what I would call a, you know, prosperous nation on this list. There are 10 countries on this list, and a lot of these you'd say, well, yeah, those people must be starving to death because it's not a very rich country. It's an impoverished country. But then there's countries that are sort of on the rise. Like on this list is Vietnam. Vietnam economically is not in the dumps. It's a growing economy. But they've got a pretty healthy diet, to be honest. I mean, what is it, seafood?
What are you talking about, Vietnam?
Yeah.
Yeah, rice and probably chop suey or not chop suey. No, what about like chow mein?
Chow mein? Are you guys nuts or something? It's Vietnamese food. It's not Chinese.
I don't know.
Anyway, North Korea leads the list of the lightest 10 nations. Well, how about that for a news flash? North Korea, man, those people there, they're eating dirt. Then you've got Cambodia, which I don't know anything about Cambodia, but it just doesn't strike me as a country where they're rock and roll. You know, Burundi, Nepal, the Himalayan nation of Nepal, the Democratic Republic of the Congo.
They're all countries, man, these people must be poor.
It sounds like a lot of poor countries, but again, I got to get better educated on countries like Nepal. I'm sure Nepal has a high poverty rate, though. Bangladesh,
That's where they did a concert for Bangladesh a long time ago you're talking about.
Right. I mean, that's a long time ago, but maybe they're still, you know, running around trying to find something to eat. Sri Lanka, Ethiopia. I mean, these are all countries that you think of like starvation.
Maybe they're weighing the people because they're still skinny.
The what?
What are you talking about?
I mean, they're weighing the people. The people still skinny from the last time they was poor.
They're weighing the people and they're still skinny from the last time they were poor.
Yeah, now they're eating better.
Oh, well, you get out of here.
I don't know.
Weighing them. Anyway, number 9, Vietnam, and number 10, Eritrea, which is a small African country that was beset by all kinds of horrid civil strife and civil war, and probably is still paying dues for that. I don't think there's any confusion here. These are all really either poor or borderline poor countries where people just don't have enough to eat, you know?
So that means that there's no country on that list because they work out.
No, there's no country on this list where they work out.
Well, what about like Sri Lanka?
Why do you think they work out in Sri Lanka?
It's an island country. And
do a lot of kayaking?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. Sri Lanka's an island country, so there's a lot of kayaking. You guys are looking at this from the eyes of Americans. These are countries. What do you mean kayaking, man? These cats are looking for something to eat, man. You know, they're looking for something to eat. A lot of these countries barely have arable lands. They don't have lands that will support crops, or they don't have lands where they can graze cattle, domesticated animals that are a food source. I mean, they're all jacked up, man. North Korea, they just got a bunch of dumbasses running their country. Cambodia, probably the same reason. Burundi, who knows? Nepal, too high up in the air. Congo, it's weird. Bangladesh, George Harrison. Sri Lanka, who knows, kayaking. Ethiopia, starving to death. Vietnam, Vietnam War, too much Agent Orange. And Eritrea, it's a weird-sounding country. So there you have it.
That ain't no reason why the people are skinny.
No, but I thought I'd run through it the way you guys would. Researchers estimate the weight of the adult human population of these countries. Oh, no, wait, excuse me. Researchers estimate the weight of the adult human population was 287 million tons in 2005, out of which 15 million tons was due to being overweight and 3.5 million tons due to obesity. Did you get that one, you guys?
Uh-uh.
What they're saying is the human population weighs 287 million tons as of 2005. Of that 287 million tons, 3.5 million tons is due to just flat obesity, just fat ass, okay? And
well, what about 15 million?
I was going to say, the 15 million tons is due to being overweight, but the 3.5 million, obesity.
Yeah, think about it. You just lightened up the load of the human race.
Yeah.
Well, that's true. I did. I lightened the load of the human race, man. You know? But I'm still working on it.
Yeah, you lost like 50 pounds. The human race is 3.5 million times minus 50. Well, it's probably not that big of a deal.
Yeah, don't count it that way, bud. You'll get frustrated. Nobody's sitting out there going, hey, Phil Henry lost 50 pounds, so hey, you know, good for us. You know, I'm doing my fair share. I ain't as much, you know, whatever.
What do you think you cut back on more than anything else?
Of the food that I eat?
Yeah.
Meat. I don't eat any red meat, and it's not because I don't like red meat. God knows I love steaks, but man, it's you eat a steak, Jack, that burns up. If I'm on a 2,000-calorie-a-day diet, forget it. I can't eat any steaks, you know.
You say you're eating turkey bacon.
That turkey bacon's pretty good. Now, here's the thing I found. I found that extra lean turkey bacon. It's like 20 calories a slice. That stuff's out of sight, man. So I eat that.
Yeah, you have like, what do you have, like 3 sandwiches a night or something?
Yeah, I eat that turkey bacon. It's good, and I eat it with that Nature's Own bread. But see, you got to hunt up all these low-cal. You got to look for these low-calorie foods, man. That's the only meat that I eat now. And so I'd say I gave up meat, and of course, forget it, man. There ain't no donuts, pastries, candy bars, nothing like that.
Not even like the Reese's cup.
Not Reese's cup? No way, man. First and foremost, no Reese's cups. So none of that. All the rice, all the potatoes, forget it, man. It ain't happening. None of that.
No, you're eating bread.
I eat bread because I eat this 50-calorie sliced bread, you know, but I'm not even fooling around with rice. Because the whole idea is, can I get a lot to eat in as few a calories as possible? That's the whole goal, man. I mean, I want to fill myself up, and but you know, I don't want to do it like, I want to fill myself up, and I'm not going to do that if I have a steak. What's going to happen to me for the rest of the day? And what happens is when you want to fill yourself up and you go for foods that are lower in calories, but there's more of an abundance of that, like salad, for instance, man, I can eat a whole damn bag of romaine lettuce. It's only 165 calories. So that's good, you know, and you wind up eating naturally healthier food. You know, I eat like bananas, man, and it just so happens a banana is a pretty good fruit to eat because it's low in sugar as opposed to apples and stuff like that.
But sugar, what's that, fat?
Sugar turns into fat in your body. Yeah, it turns into calories anyway. And if you have a fruit that's high in natural sugar, even if it's natural sugar, like an apple, like an orange, like a peach, that's a high calorie fruit.
Well, what was that one you said, like one calorie each?
Blueberries are one calorie each.
What about strawberries?
Strawberries are 6 calories each. So strawberries are fantastic. You can eat a whole box of strawberries, man. You've only burned up maybe, you know, 100 calories. You can eat freaking blueberries, 1 calorie each. The only problem with blueberries, they're so damn good, and I mean they are good. You can sit down with blueberries, say, hell, these are only 1 calorie each. The next thing you know, you've eaten 500 of them.
Man, yeah, are you kidding me, man? You had a 500 blueberry?
I ate 500 blueberries at one sitting one time. It's like I did with those rice cakes. Rice cakes are 50 calories each. There's like 7 of them or something. Before I even knew it, I'd eaten like 500 calories worth of rice cakes. So I got rid of those. I mean, I don't eat those as much, you know.
You eat a lot of popcorn.
Yeah, I eat a lot of popcorn. Hell yeah. In other words, it's whatever's going to fill you up and not use up a lot of calories. So I don't eat any meat anymore, and I don't eat a lot of those fruits. I mean, I do eat fruit, but I don't eat the stuff that's high in calories. Okay, so there you go. I just gave you the rundown, guys, on how I lost 50-plus pounds, and I'm still losing it. My goal weight is like 210.
Yeah, you know, I don't know, man. You know, watch out about that.
I got the doc is watching me, man.
Yeah, Dr. Emery's watching out for him. He don't need you.
Why don't you shut up, man? I'm just talking to myself.
All right, hold on, will you? Thank you, Robert, for your concern. Dr. Emery is looking out for me. Yeah, and I've got, at 245, I got 35 more pounds to go, man.
That you've already lost more than that.
I have. I've lost 50 pounds. Yeah, I've lost 50 pounds. All right. We'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show to close up here in this particular show, y'all. And don't forget to join us online at philhendryshow.com and download the hell out of that new Episode 9 of the free Phil Hendry podcast, Episode 10 coming up on Thursday.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Tell him that, I'm telling
him. Yeah, he already has it, Doc.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Turn that fan off, you guys.
It's hot in here.
I know it's hot in here. That's just the way it is, man. When you have all this equipment, it is hot in the old studio. Welcome back, world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Our number, 877-876-PHIL, and online at philhendryshow.com. Michael Bloomberg, the mayor of New York, came out and said the following. He said that Mitt Romney would be better at running the country than President Barack Obama, but cannot support him because of his stances on guns and abortion rights. The New York Times reported him as telling dinner guests. Michael Bloomberg made the comments at a charity event, the Times reported, after a guest at the dinner asked him for his feelings about the two candidates. What does it mean to stand on guns? What are you, Bloomberg? What are you anyway, man? That guy bugs me. You bother me, Mr. Mayor. Let me tell you why, okay? You're the mayor of New York. Why don't you take care of New York? You're big fat mouth on the national scene. That's great. And I understand that the mayor of New York, as is the mayor of, say, Los Angeles, as is possibly the mayor of Chicago and places like that, you know, they have a little bit of a national standing, not much. You're the mayor of New York, and ordinarily, you know, the country does notice the mayors of New York. I mean, I can remember, I probably know the mayors of New York better than I know the mayors of L.A. Mayor Lindsay, Mayor Koch, Mayor Dinkins. I mean, New York has had the sublime, and they've had the ridiculous. Mayor Giuliani, Mayor Bloomberg. And I know that the media will pay attention to the mayors of these different... who was the guy that went had to go to New York? He had to go to Washington. He was the mayor of New York back in the late 1970s. And this poor man had to go to Washington and ask for a loan because New York was broke. But I got to tell you, I'm not really all that interested in Michael Bloomberg's take on the national scene at all. You don't impress me at all, man. Why don't you get it together with New York? Go ahead and get rid of all the big sodas. Make all your big genius moves there, and then we'll see whether anybody cares whether you know whether you run for president or whether you're the national dog catcher. Because I don't think anybody's going to care. Because you know you are about as I don't know where you're coming from, man. I think you just open your yap and say anything that sounds good. That's Bloomberg. Well, I don't agree with Romney. He'd be a better president, but now here's the thing. Maybe he's just as whack as I am in terms of my politics. I am in favor of abortion rights for women. I'm also a strong advocate of gun ownership and that the Constitution be supported in that area. So that probably makes me kind of a freak, too. I guess that's why they call us independents. I just ain't taking the usual stands that some of these other guys. You know, I'm strong on gun rights. I'm strong on abortion rights and gay rights. You know, I'm really strong and big on national defense. I'm not, you know, in love with the so-called, shall we say, the social program federal government approach, unless it's really necessary, and then I'm down with that thing. I mean, you know, it's like everything else. How do you define necessary?
Great thing about national health care.
Let me tell you about national health care, okay? You can say whatever you want about national health care. You can call it commie. Say whatever you want to say. But one thing you cannot deny, if you got past the first grade. Paying for health care in this country it's busting us wide open. It is expensive, and it's getting more expensive with every passing day. It's trillions of dollars, and tort reform, if you are trying to sell that one to me, just move on down the highway and talk to some dumbass, okay, pal? Because I saw you coming. You and that these people with the tort reform, get a freaking grip, okay? I don't know whether you think you're talking to complete idiots or what the story is, or whether it's smoke and mirrors, or whether you guys think you can really sell that, hey, you know, a little tort reform. The tort reform, man, would reform health care the way peeing into a river is somehow going to change the overall quality of a glass at the other end, man, in the faucet. It just isn't going to happen, man. It just doesn't make that much of a difference. So, you know...
Well, that sounds like you want it.
I'm not going to say anything beyond that. The rest of that's my business. I'm not going to sit here and talk about healthcare and whether I endorse it or not. You know, I'm going to leave that to my audience. If they're bright enough, they'll figure it out. If they're not, well, good luck to them. I will tell you this, though. You guys are being sold a bill of goods. If you think that tort reform thing, that's the biggest load of crap that's ever come out of the jungle, man, since the guy with the bone in his nose who said he could wave the magic wand over you and turn your head into an apple.
Who was that?
Ramar the Jungle.
It's not a joke.
Right. It ain't going to happen, man. And it isn't going to happen that all of a sudden, the cost of medicine and all of this other horse dung, people just delude themselves because they have a certain political ideology. Well, I'm a conservative. That means that even if I got to lie to myself, well, I'm a liberal. I'll give you one. My dear, sweet, marvelous friends in the liberal end of things are always love to say,
yeah, was there any weapons of mass destruction?
Let me explain how life works. A president, right after a city has had 3,000 of its citizens incinerated and two huge buildings falling to the ground as a result of a terrorist act, a president doesn't take chances. A president looks at the possibility of a threat coming from any particular area of a region of the world, and he has to act in his own mind. This is what George Bush was doing. You can call him a liar. You can call him Hitler. You can act like a child and call people names, but you got to grow up and face the facts. The facts are that that president took a look at whatever that intelligence told him, and he said, you know what, I ain't buying it. I'm going to go in, and we're going to find out ourselves whether this guy's got weapons of mass destruction. I don't give a damn. If they're not there, then they're not there. I ain't buying it, and I don't have, and I'm not going to play it fast and loose with the safety of the American people. I'm not going to sit here and, well, you know, the CIA told me. Only to find out in a year or two that Saddam Hussein has some kind of a dirty bomb, and now we got problem number two. I'm not going to do that. That is what was in George Bush's mind. Now, I know there's all kinds of people that are way smarter. But I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, as we hear the battle hymn of the Republic, that is what was in his mind.
Way to go, Mr. Henry.
Thank you. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by Dan Northcraft and me, Phil Hendry, and we invite you to join us online at philhendryshow.com and get a backstage pass and enjoy all of the things that we have to offer you at philhendryshow.com. The backstage pass affords you the live streaming video of our show, as well as, of course, all of the archives that are online going back many, many years. Please also download our podcast. Just hit the podcast banner and make that podcast a regular part of your Phil Hendry Show listening. Until then, let that be a lesson to you.
Phil Hendry.